Now go with me to 1 Peter 3. I texted you the text for tonight, and the title was taken from verse 10, 1 Peter 3:10. He that will love life and see good days. And then he tells us some things to do, not to do, say, not to say, how to. This is how to have some good days. I hesitated to use that title, how to. But scriptures are full of how to. I'm glad. I looked up, before I gave it that title, I looked up my pastor's messages. I put in the words how to. And he had like 15 sermons on how to. So I thought, okay, I'm fine. This is not a message on how to be saved. Okay? That's the last time I'm going to say that. Do you know that? He's talking to believers. He's talking to the saints. This is written to God's people who have been saved. And these are instructions on how to think, walk, talk, act in such a way as becoming those that have been saved for the glory of God, for the good of others, for our own good. It's going to tell us how to have some good days. We're going to have some good days. So, how to spend our days. There are few. We don't have many left. It's going to tell us how to spend our days. I need to know. I want to have some more. If I've got just a few left, I want some of them to be good, don't you? Okay, verse 8, he begins, finally, be ye all of one mind. He'd been talking to citizens, servants, wives, husbands, finally, everyone, be of one mind. Go to Philippians 2. You know we have to go there. We talk about the mind, the way of thinking. Philippians 2 talks about the mind of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Think, same thoughts. Be of one accord. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, humility. Now, remember that? Meekness. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. You'll find rest. A humble humility, lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things. Don't be selfish, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He laid down his life for us. So he tells us, let this mind be in you. Be of one mind. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If we are members of his body, of Christ's body, vitally joined to Christ and each other, we must be of one mind. Mustn't we? Members acting together, not independently, but together. One mind, one cause. We have one cause. We have one purpose. We have one goal. And that's the glory of our God, to build up one another on this most holy faith. Acts chapter 2 is the story of the early church. Lord saved 3,000 souls. Verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. All of them. That's what Simon Peter said, didn't he? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ. So they did. They were. And verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is, they were always hearing. They always gathered together to hear the preaching of the word. as most of you do. And fellowship, what is fellowship? It's fellowship is with the Father, with His Son. Okay? That's fellowship. That's true fellowship. It's around the gospel. And in breaking of bread, that's taking the Lord's table and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. You're always together. Like members of a body. My fingers have never, have always been together. My toes have always been with me. They're faithful to me. So, read on. It says, and they had all things common. Oh, we got a common faith, don't we? We got a common desire. We've got a common hope. We've got common problems, common troubles, common temptations. We have all things common, don't we? What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. We have all things common, don't we? It's all been given to us. We don't. None of us own anything. But it's all been loaned to us. And they sold possessions and goods and parted them as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were all, you found 3,000 people jammed into that temple. None of them wanted to be left out. Breaking bread. And they went house to house and they praised God, had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. That's one mind. Read on in our text, 1 Peter 3, 8. Having compassion, one of another. Compassion. Oh my, that's a good word, isn't it? Compassion means have deep feelings for someone else, especially in their sorrows and trouble. Deep feelings. The next thing that follows is love as brethren. We have deep feelings for our blood kin, don't we? Deep feelings. Isabella, the Lord gave her that virus last week. Well, I didn't have any more concern for her than I did for Doug West and Bethel Baptist down there. I didn't. And someone else's child had had another one. Deep feelings. Deep concern. Deep feelings. We are blood kin, brothers. This is the family of God, and it's going to be the only family we have someday, right? Compassion, deep feelings. We suffer. We read there in Romans 12, laugh with those that weep, with those that weep, and laugh with those that laugh. Deep feelings. You know, He exhorts us to these things because we're still selfish sinners. Because most of the time we act like, well, most of the time this old man rears his head and he's only concerned about himself, nobody else. He gets his feelings hurt, he gets mad, he gets upset, he gets put out, and he just wants to just cause nothing but trouble. That's the old man. He's out for himself. So the Lord keeps telling us these things. Don't think about yourself. And that's what we tell our children growing up, don't you? And so He tells us that. Have compassion like little children. We need to be taught, admonished. Don't think of yourself. It's not about you. Love as brethren. Verse 8. Love as brethren. Now, real love will do anything for the one they love. Right? Love as brethren. Brethren, give, forgive one another and forget. It's not really forgiveness if you don't forget. You know that? Some of you had siblings, and I had two older brothers, and my middle brother was so mean to me, and I didn't deserve any of it. But honestly, to this day, we had some knock-down, drag-out fights, and that's ugly. It's bad, and nothing would make my father more furious than to hear us fussing and fighting. And often He punished all of us, not knowing who, you know. I didn't do it. He did. I didn't do it. Okay, I'll just whip you both. Because we both need it. But honestly, to this day, I can't think of one single thing that my brother and I fought about Because Ron, the next day, or an hour later, we're playing and having it. It's like it never happened. We're brothers. Right? He's still my brother. And we don't leave. Brethren don't leave. They forgive. They forget. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter what it is. Right? We have a brother, an elder brother. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said, I will never leave you. What have we done to him? And he says he doesn't remember it. He said, I don't remember. I've confessed some things in my adulthood to my mother that I did as a child. She said, no, you didn't. You couldn't have. You were a good boy. Yeah, right. She loved me. Love covereth. Doesn't it? It really does. It really does. If it doesn't, it's not love. Love as brethren. That's not advice. That's command. Love as brethren. That was one of the last things our Lord said before he went to the cross, didn't he? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Whew. Help me, Lord. Help me. Be pitiful. I like that word. Pitiful. Full of pity. Full of pity. Pity means to bemoan another's troubles or whatever. I looked it up and it means to shake the head as in, oh. You've done that. Oh. You hear something about somebody. Oh, my, it's too bad. Pity. Our Lord is pitiful, isn't it? Look at Isaiah 63. You're going to like that. Isaiah 63. Brother John came by and visited me again. I love it when he does. He sharpened, iron sharpeneth iron. Face answereth to face. We have a good time, don't we, John? Isaiah 63, look at this, verses 7 through 9. Right after, now you need to read this whole chapter. It begins with our Lord, the wine press, and in his anger and his fury. And in verse 7 begins, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, his people. Great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. He said, surely they're my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them in his love and in his pity. He redeemed them. He bare them, carried them all the days of old. I used to like that old song, He Ain't Heavy. He's my brother. I still like that song. Pity. Not blame. Pity. Not criticism. Pity. Pity. A man should get pity, Job said, from his friend, shouldn't he? Our Lord does. Why? He knows our frame. He remembers what we are. We often forget what our brethren are. What are they? Just like us. Just like it. Look at the next word. Be courteous. Courteous. Courteous means to think on the things of others. It means in honor, preferring one another. It means let someone else go first. Thinking of their comfort, their needs first. What a missing characteristic this is in our generation. In this self-loving last days, common courtesy is gone, isn't it? Be considerate to say thank you. If someone does anything for you, say thank you. If someone texts you, text them back. If someone writes you, someone calls you, whatever it's done for you. Most of you, I text everyone the messages. First Monday morning, and some text me back. It's just common courtesy. Daisy thanks me for every single text that's in there. Thank you. We do that for our brothers and sisters, wouldn't we? If our husband or wife texted us, would we answer them? Every time. Every time. Love us, brethren. Be courteous. Common courteous. Courtesy. Considerate. Oh, think of how our Lord, how courteous He was. He never thought of His own needs. Never. Always thinking of the needs of others. Oh, well. Verse 9 says, not rendering evil for evil. It's hard to believe that a child of God could ever act evil, isn't it? Ever do or say anything that's evil? But the sad fact is there's an old man in us that's evil. Our Lord said this to His disciples one day. You remember He was talking about what all the Father will do for His children. And He said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father? And He's talking about the old man. There's an old man in us that's evil. He thinks of himself, like we said. He's capable, that old man is capable of doing and saying and inflicting evil. And this is why we are continually admonished and exhorted and encouraged. Now, you need to put that fellow down. He's going to hurt somebody. It's evil. And we do. But if we do, if God's people do, the Lord will deal with us. He will deal with us in kind. And He will convict us. And He'll make us sorry and weep bitter tears. And hopefully, if we've hurt somebody, ask their forgiveness. Look at the next step. Railing. Don't render railing for railing. And from here on, He's going to talk a lot about the tongue. Does anyone need it? Everyone needs it. Railing. It means to speak ugly. It means to argue. It means to fuss. It means to fight. It means to quarrel. It means to lash out at. Back and forth. It's evil. It's evil. It's evil. Look at James chapter 3. Just back a few pages. You know how much James talks about the tongue, don't you? There's more hurt and more evil done with the tongue than anything else. It is Satan's tool. It is his delights. It is what separates, and there's nothing he loves more than division. And there's nothing will cause it more quickly than the tongue. A whisperer separates. That's what he said. You remember the quotes in the bulletin? One of our ladies said, I want to blow those up and put them on the refrigerator, those quotes about the mouth. One of them was it. This tongue is only 3.5 inches long. Some longer than others. But it can kill a man 6 feet tall. It's a dangerous weapon. It needs to be used sparingly and wisely. James chapter 3, verses 3 and following. Look at this. Behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth that we may obey, that they may obey us. A bit's a little thing in it. Control that big animal that could kill us. We turn it about their whole body. Verse 4. Ships driven with the great fierce winds. We turn them about with a little rudder. A very small helm. Wherever the governor listed. Even so the tongue is a little thing. But it boasteth great thing. But what a great matter. A little fire kindling. The tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So it's the tongue, it's among our members. It defileth the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. Gets things started. It's hard to stop. Set on fire of hell, Satan. Every kind of beast, verse 7, of birds and serpents, things in the sea is tame and hath been tame of mankind. With the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil. Full of deadly poison. Bless we God the Father, and there will curse men. He says it shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. Don't render railing or rail it, he said. Go back to our text. I was going to turn to Proverbs. How many scriptures could we turn to in a proverb? I am going to turn a little bit. We do need to see that. Because he talks about we need to be a blessing and not curse. And Proverbs 10, let me just read some of these for you. I can look them up faster than you. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That's Christ, isn't it? Grace pour from him. When they said no man spake like this man, they not only meant in power and authority and spellbinding, they meant the way in which he said it. Great mercy and compassion and love and pity. No man spake. Grace poured from his lips. Even his enemies wondered at the gracious words that came from his mouth. It says in Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Verse 19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Listen to this, Proverbs 16:24. It says, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bone. Bad words, evil words can cut you to the heart, can't they? And maybe never get over it. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife. A whisperer separateth various friends. Set a watch over our lips, O Lord. Go back to our text. He says, don't render evil for evil. Verse 9. Don't render evil for evil. We just read that in Romans 12, didn't we? Evil for evil. Don't return evil for evil, but good. Railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called. But you should inherit a blessing. We're called. The Lord has blessed us that we might be a blessing and inherit a blessing. We are blessed of the Lord, aren't we? So blessed to hear what we hear. So we're blessed to be a blessing. You're called to be a blessing. He says in verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Blessing, not cursing. Thankful, not complaining. Sweet words, not bitter words. Romans 3 is a description of unbelievers, the unregenerate. Their mouths are full of their lips, like poison of acid under their lips. They're not thankful and cursing. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. That's talking about unbelievers. God blessed us with his salvation to make us bless, not curse. We need to bless our God, not curse. We need to be thankful, not complaining. There's a scripture in Psalm 144. I preached the whole message on it. No complaining in our streets. Let there be no complaining in our streets. What do we have to complain about? Nothing. Like Jacob said, we're not worthy of the least of all the mercies you've shown us and all the truth that you've shown us. So we're called to bless, not curse. We've been blessed to bless and inherit blessing. We remember what our Lord said in on the Sermon on the Mount, had every single verse, blessing. Be a blessing. Ask the Lord, oh Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing in these few days. All right, here it is, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, and he continues, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile, eschew evil and do good, seek peace and ensue. He that will love life and see good days. Now, when he's talking about loving life, what life is he talking about? This life? No. This is one of those scriptures that you need to take other scriptures and throw it at it. It won't stand. Let me read it to you. John 12, these are the words of our Lord about this life. I'll read you a few. John 12, verse 25, our Lord said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." Do you know what that means? All right, listen to this. Luke 14, we just looked at this not too long ago. Luke 14, our Lord said this in verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Do you know what he's talking about? What life is he talking about? He that will love life, eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Right? This is not the life that we're to set our affection on, to love, the eternal life, life with Christ. This is taken from Psalm 34. This is taken from David, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 34, where he said the same thing. He said, "Let me teach you the fear of the Lord. He that will love life." And he went on to say these things, see good days. David said this in Psalm 27, wasn't it? He said, "One thing have I desired. This is my whole heart's desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." He said, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." He said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God all my life." This is life. This is the good life. What we're doing right now is the good life. Why? Because man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Out there, this life we live is full of sin and sorrow and bitterness. There's a little, just enough good and happiness and joy to keep us from, you know, killing ourselves, I guess. But the Lord sends all these troubles and sorrows and all that to wean us from this. To tell us, the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and they all were sorrowful and troubled, wandering through the wilderness. They all wanted to settle down, didn't they? Why did the Lord do that? Why did he send them the roundabout way? Why did he make them go through all those troubles? To show them that this is not your dwelling place. I have a promised land for you, from where my people dwell. This is not your life. You're dead. And what's the rest of it? And your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is our life. Now, you love life. You love Christ. You'll see some good days. Act like Christ. That's what he's saying. Talk like Christ. Talk about Christ. Talk to Christ. Talk to one another. This is life. You'll see some good days. There's no good out there in this world. That's what our Lord said. He's not talking about loving this world. He said, "If any man love this world, the things of the world, the love of the Father, not in him." He said, "All that's in the world." He said, "All that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life." Now, he that will love the life of God, eternal life, wants to live with Christ forever and God's people and do this right here. Here's what you need to do. Have a few more good days. Now, look at it. He said, here it is again. Refrain your tongue. Refrain your tongue from evil. We've got an old saying, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. I did. Not too long ago, we were on vacation with Gabe and Hannah and the girls, and I bit my tongue so hard, it was bad. And you know what? It made it hard to talk. And I thought, this was good. This was good for me. It made it hard to eat. It made it hard. I had to just shut up. What do you think, Paul? So everybody liked me for about 2 days. Seriously. Isn't this, don't you hate yourself when you? It's bad enough to have these thoughts. It's bad enough, but it's worse to vent them. It's worse. It causes others. Our thoughts give us all sorts of grief and sorrow, but when they come out this mouth, it gives others sorrow. He said, a root of bitterness springing up will trouble you, and many are defiled. If you vent it, everybody else is hurt by it. Bite your tongue. Oh, Brother Shanks, I love him. He was a man of few words. And he one time said, take every big tall Texan, he was 6'5 or whatever, 275 pounds, slow talking. And he said, take every opportunity to shut up. I'll never forget that. I hope I remember that. Every opportunity. One man said, the only thing better than silence is sweet words. Otherwise, it didn't need to be said. Silence is better. He says, and your lips, if they speak no guile, truth. Speak truth. Truth. Everything our Lord said was true. You could believe him, you could trust him. Oh, my. So let me just read in closing my father's comments on these. I had the best pastor ever. I sat under the best preacher in our modern society, honestly. Let me just read his comments, okay, and I'll quit with it. Let me read these verses and comment on it. It says in verse 11, eschew evil. You know what our Lord said about Job? He said, there's no man like him on earth, didn't he? He fears God and he eschews evil. He avoids it. He tries not to. He avoids it. And do good. He says, none to do with good. Do good. People zealous of good work. Let him seek peace. And ensue it, pursue it. Don't just take it, but make it. Be a peacemaker. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. Oh, thank God. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Now listen to my pastor. He said, these words are taken from Psalm 34. It's referring to a man who desires to live a true spiritual life, who desires communion with God, who wants the blessings of Christ in him, and wishes and wants to be like Jesus Christ. That's life. Let him refrain his tongue from lies, slander, gossip, harsh words, criticism, and boasting. Let him turn away from evil and seek righteousness. Avoid the company and conversation of evil men and women and seek the company of believers. Avoid the appearance of evil and do good. Let him not only desire peace with God himself and his fellow men, but let him pursue it with a strong resolve. He said, too many sit back and talk of their willingness to love, but don't do anything about it. Don't be just a friend of peace and goodwill. Be a promoter and a pursuer of it. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows our attitudes. His ears are open to hear those who seek peace and righteousness. We may deceive others and even ourselves, but not our Lord. It's not nearly so much action as it is attitude and spirit which brings the Lord's wrath.
His face is against those who have a bitter spirit and a self-righteous spirit, a proud spirit and an unforgiving spirit. He's against them. Let us remember 1 Samuel 16:7, where the Lord looks on the heart. This is perhaps the greatest error of religious people today. The place of greatest danger for the true believer is forgetting that God sees and knows and watches and hears everything we do and say. That's what caused David so much grief in Psalm 51. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Like I didn't even care you were watching or listening. I spoke these words like I didn't. You weren't listening. And then he goes on to talks about who is he that will be harm you if be followers of that which is good. My pastor said, what harm can possibly come to you for walking with God, fulfilling the will and the commandments of our God, and seeking to imitate the Spirit in the mind of Christ? And then the next verse, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, in case you do suffer for the truth and what you believe and the humble spirit of Christ, doing the right thing, returning good for evil, you consider yourself blessed. Blessed if you do. And don't be afraid. The blessings of the Lord are upon those, upon His own. His special blessings are upon them when they suffer of righteousness' sake. Good comment, sir. Can't be improved upon. That's why I read them. All right, stand with me.